Every day, 129 people abandon Sydney in the belief that anywhere else in Australia is better than this. Even Adelaide. But not you. You wake up every day and breathe in this city's air. No matter how many parts per million come from the back of a car. Your house is owned by a bank, your smashed avocados are paid for on credit, and your Prime Minister is located in the Cayman Islands for tax purposes. You are a Sydney lifer. At least until you get that job in Melbourne. From the mansions of Point Piper to the McMansions of Penrith and everywhere in between, this is Radio Chaser.
Yes, welcome to the show. Charles Firth and Andrew Hanson. My name is Dom Knight. And speaking of welcomes, welcome, Mr. President Barack Obama is in Sydney. He's just landed. We saw his face on the news. I'm so sorry, Mr. President, that you've got to meet with Malcolm Turnbull. That's just going to ruin your trip straight off, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine having to... I mean, you're the President of the United States, and you can do everything you want in the world. You've got access to the nuclear bomb, everything like that. Then you stop being president, and you have to meet shitheads like Malcolm Turnbull.
Do you think when he handed over to Donald Trump, that would include handing over,
yes,
having to meet the local leader wherever you go? Couldn't you just say, sorry, Malcolm, got a bit of a headache? You just got off. That's one of the longest flights in the world, that flight from LA to Sydney. And the first thing you've got to do is just talk to some rich dude.
No. But Obama, it was very sensible. He went via New Zealand and he got to meet Jacinda Ardern.
Oh, yeah. Lucky him.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's a lot of things we're going to do on the show today. But before we get into them, I think, Andrew, we've got to raise something about our colleague, Charles.
What about him?
Look,
what?
Earlier today, you said something that I think needs to be called out.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't provide lunch for your children.
Oh,
at school.
Yeah.
You sent your kids to school without lunch.
Yeah, that did happen. Well, no, but let me explain. Like, so last night I went to Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant show, but very, we ended up going out afterwards.
I'm sure the knowledge of how good it was really sustained your children through the lunch hour.
But we got home very late. And then this morning we had this whole school barbecue thing. Like, we had to do breakfast barbecue at the school. So I had to just rush out the door. I was out of the door by 7. So just didn't actually get around. It didn't even occur to me that we'd forgotten to do lunch.
Charles, and you were a terrible, terrible parent.
And
just because you had to do something in the morning, you didn't feed your children?
Well, yeah, well, actually, just thinking about it, they probably didn't have breakfast either. But then...
What?
No, but then, yeah, and then my wife texted me at about 2 o'clock this afternoon going, oh, no, we forgot to give them lunch.
So, or presumably money to buy lunch.
Or money to buy lunch. It was terribly hard. But you know what? Your parents, like, they're 7 years old. You'd sort of think, like, they expect to be fed every single day, Dom.
You think they can fend for themselves a feral cat? I don't have kids. My baby still hasn't come out. Andrew, you've got a little daughter, 16 months old. Mm. How high on your to-do list as a parent is food?
Yeah, look. It's fairly high. It's probably in the top one positions in that list. But look, I kind of understand, there is Junior MasterChef. I mean, how old do you have to be to go on Junior MasterChef?
Yeah, exactly.
You can probably whip up a degustation for yourself by the age of 9 in the times we live in. It's different from when we were growing up. We needed to be given, honey sandwiches and all that stuff that we used to eat.
I think today's kids don't need food. I
mean, but you are terrible. Even given that, you are an appalling parent. And I've heard you say your wife texted you. Well, we've just got a text into the station from Docs because you publicly admitted to not feeding your bloody children.
Although that said, Andrew, I would assume that because they're Charles's children, they will soon forget that he forgot.
Actually, that is true. You know what I predict, though?
What do you predict?
They'll turn around tonight and they'll suddenly expect dinner as well.
Guys, when Barack Obama was elected, he made this hilariously arrogant statement that literally as soon as he became president, he said, this was the moment when our planet began to heal.
Oh.
Yeah, not quite, Barack, old fella. Because the news today, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, I've been fascinated by this for years. If you haven't come across it, it is a massive area of plastic.
Mm.
And because of the ocean currents and the way they work, for some reason, all of the plastic in the ocean gets sucked into an area between California and Hawaii.
Mm.
And they've worked out that it is 3 times larger than France. It's about the same size as Queensland now. And I think even more empty of useful things than Queensland. So if you just imagine, it's plastic bottles and little bits of plastic. But the great thing is, all the plastic floating there, the sun breaks it down into smaller and smaller pieces.
Mm.
Fish eat the plastic.
Mm.
We eat the fish.
Mm.
So
and does it make it more delicious?
Yeah, so it's good. We get more fish
this and more plastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I've heard of cooking fish in a paper bag and it tastes good. I don't know that cooking fish that contains a plastic bag is quite as delicious. But look, it is quite. I'm kind of torn because on the one hand, it's a terrible environmental failure that condemns all of us for our waste. But on the other hand, it's pretty amazing how big it is.
Yeah, like can you go and see it? Like what does it look like? Can you tread on it? Like,
if you imagine, you know the movie Waterworld, that massive flop with Kevin Costner, where they had all those bits of like floating like junk.
My favourite movie.
It's not your favourite movie.
It is one of my favourite movies.
All those floating pontoons, it's kind of like that. Only with all of the crap and not so many of the pontoons. But on the bright side, no Kevin Costner.
Yeah. So it sounds like very similar to a lot of holiday resorts I've been to, actually, just sort of overrun with discarded bottles. And
it sounds like the Gold Coast.
Basically, most of Vietnam, Southeast Asia.
Well, in the reports, I've seen lots of video of people actually, like in Indonesia and places like that, snorkeling through just massive piles of plastic.
Really?
It's a cider bottle from 1998.
But
do you have to take goggles with you, or can you just sort of stick a couple of Mount Franklins over your eyes?
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
As you go.
But look, the thing is, some people would view this as a disaster and want to clean up the oceans. Mm. But I think people being entrepreneurial, a better idea has arisen. What if the Great Pacific Garbage Patch was open to tourists?
Oh. Fed up with Fiji? Bored with Bora Bora? Vanishingly small interest in Vanuatu? Visit the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Floating idyllically between California and Hawaii, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is the Diamante Jewel of the Pacific. Explore the area on a discarded air mattress.
This must be the wine bladder region.
Snorkel around the magnificent plastic barrier reef.
Wow, a tropical fish, adorably trapped inside a plastic cup.
Indulge in the world's most exclusive shopping bags.
Oh, look, there's Prada, right next to Louis Vuitton.
Before drifting off to sleep on a bed of soft drink bottles.
I slept so well last night. I'm full of Schweppes essence this morning.
The hardest thing is choosing which of our 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic to experience next.
It's fan-freaking-plastic.
The Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Visit its unspoiled beauty today before all the tourists ruin it.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Now, Charles, the royal wedding, Harry and Meghan, the excitement is hitting fever pitch.
Yeah, and Dom, don't you reckon the reason why everyone's so excited about this particular one is because she is just so hot? Like, don't you think that's a huge part? Like, if she was fairly plain, because he's not even that much in line for the throne. He's now
he's way down the list.
Fifth or sixth.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty big bomb before we got to Harry. Yeah. No, look, but I think it could be because they've finally, I mean, royals are celebrities and famous, but they're not as big as American TV actresses on a big show like Suits.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they've traded up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's like, you know, prime ministers used to get big houses. Then we trade up to Malcolm Turnbull, got a massive house. Meghan Markle is the Malcolm Turnbull's house of royals.
But I think that is always the case with the royal men. Like, if you think about it, Prince Charles traded up when he got Princess Di. You know, Prince William definitely traded up with Kate Middleton.
Like,
that's the whole point of a royalty in the first place, is that you get these dud inbred men, and then they get to go out with these unbelievably hot women.
To try and improve the gene pool.
Sort of 5 to 9.
There is fever pitch because you've got a royal and a celebrity wedding all in one.
Yeah.
And also, the royal family is really trying to modernise what they do and bring it into the social media era. The palace tweets all the time, and they've just released pictures of the invitations and explained how that they're made and how the whole process works.
Oh, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Like, there's sort of photos of the printmaker and
all the gold or whatever.
Embossing of all the envelopes and everything like that. It's sort of pointless amount of detail.
But even though the palace has embraced the social media modern era, I think the invitations themselves are quite traditional in how they're made. And to find out more about that, let's cross now to a spokesperson, in fact, from the palace. Friend of a show of this show, our regular correspondent, Crispin Tallow Witherington Poncy Pants. He's the Earl of Ipswich and the keeper of the Fourth Crows testicle. Hello there, Crispin.
Yeah, very good afternoon to you there in the colonies.
So, Crispin, can you tell us about these amazing wedding invitations for Harry and Meghan? Apparently we can jump online and check them out.
Well, yes, indeed. We at the palace saw fit to publish the manner in which the royal wedding invitations were produced. And after the wedding, of course, we'll publish videos of the manner in which the couple's first child is produced. Oh, that'll be most intriguing to see Prince Harry wield his royal ginger scepter.
I must say, I genuinely can't wait for that video. But can you run us through how these invitations are made?
Yeah, well, the invitations are printed on a traditional royal paper made by pulping the semen-stained silken trousers of the Duke of Shrewsbury.
Of course they are.
And what about the ink?
Well, that's made from the actual semen of the Duke of Shrewsbury. Most fragrant.
What a treat for everyone who's been invited. Now, the photos that the palace has released show that the invitations are actually written, apparently handwritten in a beautiful old script. Who does that?
That's the Queen's royal calligrapher, of course. He writes them in the traditional fashion, not by hand, but by clutching betwixt his buttocks a quill plucked from the right wing of a virgin swan. And finally, the seal of the Prince of Wales is affixed to the top. Now, that's an actual wild seal, of course, clubbed to death for the purpose with a fox-headed walking cane. Jolly good sport!
Clubbing seals is a bit old-fashioned, though, isn't it?
No, not at all. In the old days, we threw the seals in the dungeons for 6 months and then had them hung, drawn and quartered along with a local witch. But we stopped that in 1998.
Well, Prince Charles is the environmentalist of the family, I understand. Look, Crispin, so once that seal goes on, does that mean the invites are done and dusted, the job's over?
Well, almost. You know, it is Prince Harry's wedding, so of course he insisted we stamp a giant swastika across all the invites and then roll them up and fill them with hashish.
Well, there you have it. That is an extraordinary story there of how the royal wedding invitations were made.
Crispin, did you get an invite?
Oh, good Lord, of course I did, my boy. I have a mailbox the size of Kent because I am a royal myself. So I should mention, actually, that the invitations are all about the size of the home counties.
That's the
way we like to do it here.
Well, Crispin, thank you. I will now I'm feeling really fulfilled that I know how royal invitations are made.
Yeah, thank you, Dominic. None of it's true, of course. We had them printed at Office Works.
Crazy Town on Triple M with Butterfly. I enjoyed that very much, Andrew, except for the bit where Charles was dancing throughout the last minute of it.
That was really unfortunate, wasn't it, Dommy? I feel nauseated and dizzy, and I wasn't the one dancing. I was just watching this hideous display of Charles Firth dancing.
Come, come, my lady, not come, come, my weird ginger radio presenter and dance. That's what
I got rhythm. I've got the Charles rhythm dance of a black man, Dom and Andrew. I've got the rhythm of a black man.
How racist.
I feel quite taken aback. Hey, Hacker.
Anyway, I have been... No, it's true.
Hello, Mr. President Barack Obama. This is Australian radio. We're like this all the time.
Yeah, where Charles has the rhythm of a black man, apparently.
And also the timing. Sorry.
The Easter Show, Charles. Royal Easter Show starts today. Mm. I've already been down there. It is...
With the speed of Usain Bolt, would you say?
Yeah, well, I didn't have to prepare lunch for my kids today,
I had
a lot more time to get over
there. It's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
But also, the whole point is, it's only $37 to get in.
Oh, good.
So, you know, and there's only one thing to do, which is to buy a show bag.
But Charles, you got to factor the $37 against the massive savings on the show bags. You buy stuff you'd never normally buy at a massive discount.
Yeah.
Like
so
lollies.
Instead of paying $20 for a bag of lollies, you pay $25 for the same bag of lollies.
First priority, of course, is to buy the Triple M show bag.
But you get the bag, Charles. It's $5 worth of bag.
True.
You know, it's a big bag.
Yeah, it's a Triple M backpack.
Yeah, you can use it for all sorts of things.
We got given the Triple M backpack yesterday.
The deodorant's been particularly useful for many of us around the office.
I got home, my 7-year-old Angus insisted that he just spray me with the deodorant. That was the first thing he wanted to do with it.
are you telling
me something?
I'm surprised you didn't eat the deodorant, given you didn't give him any lunch.
They were very interested in the chocolate. Anyway, no, so I bought in a few more show bags.
Oh, good. I bought the ones yesterday.
Very interested in the Cambridge Analytica show bag.
Oh, really?
That they're selling.
Yeah, good value.
Which I'll just take out. I haven't looked at it yet. Look at this. It's It's my own Facebook username and password.
Oh, wonderful.
How did they know that? That's amazing. Really impressive. And look, it's a photo of me and my family and all my friends. That's unbelievable. I mean, I'm good that there's a whole list of my inner thoughts, hopes and desires.
What value?
Yeah, what value?
What value to a political campaign run by President Trump? That's fantastic, Charles. Yeah. What a lovely bag. Well, I've been down to the show myself, and I picked up my favourite show bag.
Oh, yeah.
What are here, actually? This is the Salim Mahaja show bag. This is a wonderful little selection of stuff. You get, oh, look at this. You get two road barriers so you can illegally block off your street and have a narcissistic wedding. What else is in here? Oh, here we go. Look, it's a toy marble staircase with some action figures of rappers so you can make your own little music video. And a set of vintage smash-up Derby cars, so you can smash up your cars completely by accident, of course, I should say. Now, this costs only $15, and it's worth $200,000 of debt.
I'm surprised you could buy that, Andrew. I thought that the company that was releasing those had actually gone bankrupt earlier this week. that sounds pretty good. My favourite, though, I looked on the website for this, the Peter Dutton Home Affairs show bag.
Oh, yeah.
This will be really popular.
Are you sure? Are you sure this isn't just a bag of potatoes you brought?
No, really, if you want to destroy the final joke in my show bag, that's fine. It contains an express visa to live here. Unfortunately, only valid if you're a white South African farmer, but very popular. Also, a gun in the show bag. A gun that doesn't comply with Australian gun laws yet, but will when he changes them. There is an ABF novelty crowd control baton. This is great fun with the kids. Mm. You can hit the kids with it.
Oh.
And a potato that looks like Peter Dutton. Mm. In other words, a completely regular potato. And,
wait a minute. Is that toilet paper in there? Is that... Oh, that's Geneva Convention toilet paper.
It is. Yeah. You can wipe your ass on the rules. Very popular. Also, the Carl Stefanovic show bag. Have you seen this from the Today Show?
Oh, no.
Ooh, lovely.
He's selling one too. Everyone's getting into it nowadays.
There's a free initial consultation with a very good divorce lawyer. The phone number of every eligible bachelorette under the age of 30 who's done modelling.
Oh, Tommy.
Also, a hands-free kit you can use next time you take the Uber, just to make that work well for you. And a photo of Georgie Gardner to tear up after you get us sacked.
That is one cruel show bag.
You've done the impossible and made me feel sorry for Carl Stefanovic.
Happy Easter. Yeah, Charles and Andrew, let's talk Trump for a second here. Look, he's a man of vision. It's not just about sacking people, even though today he did sack his lawyer and his national security advisor. He's a man of big ideas. He doesn't just want the army or the navy, the marines, the air force. Mm. Last week he said he also wanted a space force. And that got us thinking. We came up with a serial called Space Force Trump. Here is the second installment.
These are the voyages of Space Force Trump. Their mission, to travel the galaxy, meet exotic new life forms, and kill them.
Captain's log, day 1254. Commander Trump has just launched a nuclear missile at the short undocumented aliens on the planet Zarquan.
The radioactive material seems to be making them stronger.
Okay, the nuclear bomb didn't work. I'm gonna go and play some golf. See you later.
Sir, you can't go. The aliens have just surrounded the ship. We're all gonna die.
What's your name?
Andrew McCabe, sir.
Okay, Andrew, you're fired.
But,
ready,
but,
aim,
but,
fire. Okay, I've got a plan. Ivanka, hand me the phone.
Good idea. You're gonna phone their leader?
Phone him? No, I'm gonna send out a tweet. If I wanted to, I would totally run outside and take on these pussy aliens, even if I didn't have a gun. This whole attack is fake news. Hashtag sad. Hashtag loser.
Sir, a tweet isn't going to help. We have to surrender.
Look, it's working. All the aliens are taking out their phones and checking Twitter. They're completely distracted.
Lieutenant Zuckerberg, come here. We need your help.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Initiate Operation Trump Wins.
Okay, hold on. I can't find it.
Oh, it's probably called Pobeda Trumpa in the original Russian.
Found it. Okay, step one, I am uploading all the aliens' Facebook data to our mainframe. Now, right, I'll just post memes on their phones that only a moron would believe.
USA! USA! It's working! They're all becoming Trump supporters.
Well done, sir. All the aliens think you've made the planet Zarquan great again, even though you've completely destroyed it with that nuclear bomb you just let off.
Great. Now I'm gonna go and play golf. Spaceship, head to the closest Trump resort.
heading to the Mar-a-Lago on the planet Twixtor.
Will Commander Trump get a hole-in-one on the planet Twixtor, or will he end up exterminating all the service staff again? Find out next time on Space Force Trump!
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Triple M, this is Radio Chaser here. And guys, all this talk about privacy and all the information in the internet and Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, it got me quite concerned. And I thought I'd look around to find out just how much information tech companies have on us. And one of the things that I didn't quite understand is how much they know about where we go. Day to day, where we actually spend time, where we move around. And one of the best illustrations of this is a website called I Know Where Your Cat Lives. And what someone's done is gone through Instagram and they've got a million photos of cats and they've mapped them. And in fact, if you can look at a map and see all these photos of cats and where they were taken. So in other words, if you want to steal a cat, it's enormously useful because you can see where the good cats are, what breed are they, and just call them by their name, and they'll probably come and you can steal them. So very helpful.
Well, Dom, I know we're not playing Cat's Pajamas yet, but I think that's really Cat's Pajamas, Dom.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's like a cat menu, are you saying? You can sort of sit down, choose a cat, and then just drive to its location.
And
take
steal it
home with yourself. But it's not a problem for our privacy. I mean, this is a problem for the privacy of cats.
I mean,
you know, they should stop uploading their location information if that's the case. I mean, if cats cared, you know, they wouldn't be online sharing these pictures.
Yeah, because I think 99% of social media seems to be pictures of cats
that's
anyway.
That's the point.
These are the big victims of the social media.
It's a real shame. And cat bullying online, that's another thing I can't stand. When the big tomcats, you know, pile up on the little skinny ginger one, it just breaks my heart.
Well, look, this website was set up to try and warn us about how all the photos we put online have location data and you can use that. For instance, if you want to burgle a house, you can just see when someone's posted holiday photos, boom, in you go. But the FBI is already using this this website to track down...
to burgle people's
homes.
To
track down cat terrorists, all that kind of stuff. So all you need to do, if you're worried about this, just don't take photos of your cat.
Yep.
Don't have a cat. Mm. Or if you have a cat, send your cat to go and live on one of those special farms where they get put down.
And I think also, like, I think cats, adult cats, should take note of the privacy of kittens. Like,
that's true.
There's so many, like, what about, you know, all the cats who, are attracted to underage kittens? I mean, it's just disgusting.
It's just seedy. You don't know who's looking at the kittens.
You don't know who's looking
like
at the kittens.
Some great big bloody disgusting Siamese is probably salivating over this poor little
kitten.
In
a dirty raincoat.
You wouldn't know. Yeah. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So that's quite concerning. But it gets worse, guys.
Oh, and really?
I know all of us have iPhones, right? Did you know that your iPhone actually remembers everywhere you go? There's a setting, if you go all the way into the location settings, it's a thing called significant locations.
Oh, yeah.
And they claim that this has been done in order to save on battery, so that if you go to the same place all the time, like, for instance, work, when we're here at Triple M, the phone just goes, look, you're at work, so it doesn't keep checking the GPS. But what this means in practice, and this is absolutely true, is that if you scroll through your phone, it has a list of every single place you've been since you got your phone and how long you spent to the minute in that place. And there's positives and negatives about this. Like, very useful if you've gotten pissed the night before, can't remember where you went, pull out your phone, you got your full index of your night out.
Oh, my God. That is actually very useful. I approve of this.
It's great for somebody like you, Charles, whose brain is damaged from years of alcohol.
I've got my cat's iPhone here, actually.
Where's she been?
Got the milk bowl, the couch, the milk bowl.
Hang on. Why has it got your face as one of the cat's locations? This is very sus, Charles. It gets worse. I don't even want to read out where the cat's been on you. Oh, Charles.
The thing I'd note is that if you are having an affair, this will be absolute conclusive proof of that fact. For instance, I looked through my recent locations and I saw that I've made 17 recent visits to Grandma Whiplash's B&D dungeon. Time to the minute. And what I've learned is I'm not getting my full hour that I'm paying for. They're fobbing me off for 55 minutes every time I go in there. But it's not even precise because if there's a donut place next door, it'll say the donut place. But probably worth checking, because that's why the FBI always wants to break into people's iPhones, because no one knows. It keeps a complete list of every place you go.
That is absolutely amazing.
But yes. The good thing is it's not in the cloud, okay? It's just on your phone.
Yeah.
Google's one is in the cloud. So if you have a friend and you want to know where they spent every minute of their last 20 years,
yeah,
just log in. Just try the password or 123456, and you can find out exactly where they went.
I just couldn't be bothered, Dom. I just don't care.
Well, I went in and had a look, and Charles, let's just say this isn't the only day you haven't given your kids lunch.
Oh, yeah, no, that is absolutely true, actually. It actually happened a couple of weeks ago as well. But I don't know how you knew from my Google phone that.
Well, because you go to the supermarket, you actually never take your kids to school. I'm not sure you even have children at all.
But I am pleased to note that I get 1 hour and 5 minutes at Madam Whiplash. So I think I'm getting
You're winning
all the
somewhere.
Value. Yeah.
It's Drive Time Radio's Night of Nights. Welcome to the Chaser Awards.
Yes, anyone can win a Chaser Award for anything at all. They are so prestigious. Andrew Hansen, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely, Dommy. Look, I'd like to give a Chaser Award to this Oklahoma mother who's been in the news. She's been sent to jail for marrying her daughter. This is an extraordinary stretch of the same-sex marriage thing. But my favourite part of this is the news article says, investigators later discovered Patricia Spann had previously wed her son.
Oh, cheating on your son with your daughter, that's disgusting.
I know, how immoral, how immoral. Like, you know, I mean, you've got to be faithful to your son if you're a decent person.
It's an interesting interpretation, though, of married at first sight, given that the first sight is when they come out of your womb. My Chaser Award is for the fight in Daptove. You're about this, where a man directed the blinding son into his neighbour's home with a series of mirrors. That is the most insane domestic dispute I've ever heard in my entire life. The neighbour says it's like Star Wars. It is a bleeding death ray.
And how long did he get? Like, what did he get?
No, they haven't solved this. Still going on all the time.
Right. It's just going on.
One of the neighbours has this massive mask that's like sunglasses and all this kind of stuff. So if you want to really destroy your neighbour's life, watch Channel 9 News tonight. That's where they've got the full story on ACA. We will catch you next week right here on Radio Chaser.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.